but freed up in a lot of understanding. Especially today when the prosperity message has gotten to the point of lust. It's gone beyond contentment. Praise God. We've established that the blessings of Abraham has come on all nations. I know our Bible says Gentiles, but all nations. We have an inheritance that can't be bought. We've inherited it. We've received it through the power of the new covenant, which is the new birth. And we've established this fact that the tithe is not done away with, nor the offering. And that it's very much intact. And it was part of the Abrahamic covenant. It's part of our responsibility of the inheritance. The tithe and offering, we clearly designated it belongs to the priesthood. That's all it was ever intended for, is to support the house of God. We established very firmly and very strongly Hebrews chapter 7. We brought it with clarity, what was being said there. That here men that die receive the tithe. And the reason that they receive the tithe, then give of the tithe, is because they're bearing witness that his ministry continues to live. He ever liveth. Praise God. And so today in Galatians chapter 3, we want to deal with this issue of having a curse come on you if you don't perform in the area of finances for the church, especially in the area of the tithe and the offering. Many priests today are putting men under law concerning giving. They're saying that if you don't give, then this curse will come on you. They use this out of Malachi chapter 3. And I set you guys up. Remember last Sunday I asked how many of you feel that you're under the curse? Quite a few hands went up. And if that's the case, then I want to clarify something. In the Old Testament, they were under law, especially during the time of Moses up until Christ. They were under law. And Christ, by example, demanded that the law be met, or else there was consequences to it. And when you look at Malachi, one of the things he said there in Malachi, he says, knowing the nature of God, he said, how have you robbed me? You've robbed me in the tithe and the offering. And knowing the nature of God, he wasn't referring to what he wasn't getting dollar-wise. He was referring to why he couldn't pour the blessing out. And the reason he couldn't pour the blessing out, that was robbing him of, you were robbing him of that ability because you didn't put yourself into a position to complete what God asked you to do for the very purpose of pouring that blessing out. The tithe and the offering was always meant to support the priesthood, to see to it that they, by an order of God, poured a blessing out on you. That is all it is. Matter of fact, the priest could not inherit any substance other than what was brought to the house. They had no rights to any inheritance other than what was given by the people to the house of God or the temple of God. And that's all they were commanded to live off of. And that's very clear. But what about this curse that comes on you? Well, somebody said the word blessing is benediction. People, we are not under that benediction. What he was saying there is because of your disobedience, you've abandoned the support so that I can't pour that blessing out on you. As a result of that, then you violated law, and as a result of that, a curse came on you. And when he said he'd pour out a blessing, a benediction, what he was referring to is in the Old Testament, when God wanted to bring a blessing to the people, he brought it by a prophet. The thing was that when God brought a curse, he brought it by the prophet. And what he was saying there is, if you want a word from me, then I'll bring you a benediction. I'll bring you a word of blessing when you get yourself lined up. Are you following with me? With what I asked you to do. And it's not that God ever wanted men to live under law. He hated it. God hated to deal with men under law because it was contrary to what he wanted from humanity, which was the the right to choose or your will being intact. Now, for those of you that haven't been attending Wednesday night, I was teaching a series on how to be led of the Spirit. One way is by His nature. And we had shared with you how Lucifer fell, how he had the ability to fall, and even angels to follow him. And I used a little illustration by a puppet with a heart. He was shaped like a heart. And I showed the example of how God would respond to something that he created without a will. And then I showed you how this person would respond to God once God put a will in him. And it was very obvious to the ears of the and eyes of the hearers and the seers, you know, of how effective that was by that illustration of the puppet. And basically what I was bringing across was this, how obnoxious it is for God to want something out of you without your heart being attached to it. You see, God wants your will intact, and He wants you to respond, not by law, but by a fervency of your inner man, your spirit. And even though ministers say you get under a curse by not giving of your tithe and offering, I got news for you. Where is your curse coming from? Is it coming from God? Is He the reason that you're under the curse? Is because you haven't blessed His household? Not really, because God will sustain His ministers any way He can if you're not the one assisting it. Are you following what I'm saying? God will sustain His ministers if you don't. But He would rather have you do that, and here's why. The same mind that would withhold your giving to the priests of God is the same mind by which you steward your money. So if you're under a curse today, people, I'm going to basically tell you why. It's not because God brought a curse or is going to threaten you with a curse. It's because you're under the curse by the consequences of your own choice. It's how you steward your money. We're living in a society that lives by credit. And I'm going to tell you, even when you violate credit, the creditors will still come to give you more credit so you can violate more. You know. But you see, when the same mind that refuses to support the priesthood is the same mind that you've got to steward your money with. And so there's where the consequences come from. It's not that God... Now, did God bring a curse on the nation of Israel? By example, the nation of Israel had a curse brought on him. God removed His blessings of protection because of the violation of law. Are you following me? But God doesn't handle humanity this way. Why? Well, look in Galatians chapter 3, and let's begin with a verse that's very interesting, and we're going to learn some good things today. Praise God. In Galatians chapter 3, let's start with verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Isn't that interesting? Christ has redeemed us from the curse. Well, where does this curse come from when these ministers tell you that you're going to get under a curse if you don't give of your money? I got news for you. That is not scriptural. Because then you can come back and say, but He became a curse for me. You see. So how am I going to get a curse from Him if He became a curse for me? We treat money differently we do faith. We treat money differently we do love. We treat money differently than we do righteousness. And yet, money is all equal with all of them. Why do I say that? Because it's an issue of what God has done for us in our dispensation, in our hearts. Many of you come up and say, well, I don't know why you're continually approving the tithe is intact, when I think it's ridiculous for somebody not to want to give to the kingdom of God. But not everybody thinks that way. Because everybody has one hand on their wallet and one hand on the house of God. Are you following me? They keep their money separate from the house of God. And some people are embarrassed to even take it, and so they put boxes in the back of the church. I'll never degrade the rights to giving by putting boxes and hiding our giving before the Lord. That same mind, that same mentality is not right. People are going to give more because you don't talk about it. You know, does that mean that we're going to operate in faith more the less we talk about faith? Does that mean that we're going to operate more in righteousness if we don't talk about righteousness? You know. I mean, let's put righteousness in the boxes back there. Hey, the message of faith, it'll be all right. A lot of churches agree to that. Let's put the message of faith back in these boxes back here so you can just pull out the message as you're going out the door. So what are we going to talk about in church? You know, the reason money is such an issue to so many is because they haven't learned how to let go of it. Now notice this. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessings of Abraham, notice he didn't say the blessings of the new covenant, he said the blessings of the Abrahamic covenant might come on the nations. I've got Gentiles here, but it's actually nations through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now I want you to notice the word Spirit there. If you have a big S, it should be a little S. Because the promise of the Spirit is the new birth. It is not a bunch of more rules and regulations added to what was revoked. Now, why? God has done something for the church today. The greatest thing He's done for the church today is He caused the Spirit of Christ to come into your heart so you are able to fulfill all the wisdom and counsel of God. You're without excuse. Now notice what he says here. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth to. Verse 15 is referring to the Abrahamic covenant. That is the only covenant given to man where there is no curse to it. Why? Because Christ was going to become the curse. That the Abrahamic covenant would be the inheritance of the New Testament believer. Now notice this. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. And he saith, not to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this is what he was referring to. That when there was a covenant cut between Abraham and the pre-incarnate Christ, he cut it between Abraham and Jesus. Now notice this. And this I say, that the covenant which was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law. Now I want you to notice, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. The promise of what? The new birth that is to come. The new birth that is to come. Now I want you to notice what he's talking about here. He's talking about now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made, and he saith, not to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Now notice it. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, listen, he's talking about the Abrahamic covenant that was confirmed. That was confirmed. How? It was confirmed by an oath that came from the mouth of God. Right. It came by an oath that came out of the mouth of God to Abraham and his seed. That means the Abrahamic covenant was confirmed by an oath. And notice what he goes on to tell you. He says there's no way the Abrahamic covenant will ever be done away with. It's irrevocable.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Period over not. Now what is a New Testament covenant? Sonship. It's called inheriting the new birth so that I can deal out my responsibility to the inheritance of the Abrahamic covenant.
Amen.
See, no one could explain the difference between the new covenant and the Abrahamic. I ask everybody. Nobody could give me an answer. Till finally God put it in my hands, the answer. Praise God. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Oh, He's a good teacher. Now notice this. Follow me. I want you to follow me real closely. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith, not into seeds as of many, but as of one. And to thy seed, which is Christ. This I say, that the covenant that was confirmed had an oath given to it before of God and Christ. The law. Well, what is the law? The Mosaic covenant. That is what the law centers around, the Mosaic covenant. Now follow me very closely. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? What was the reason of the Mosaic law? I'll tell you why. Are you ready? This is a heavy revelation. Because of transgressions. Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. Till the seed should come, not seeds, seed should come to whom the promise was made. What promise was made? Pre-incarnate Christ told Abraham that he wouldn't have to give Isaac up, that he would give a son up, which is Jesus. He will give us Jesus. He'll give us Jesus to be the other side of that contract. Period, over and out. Are you following what I'm saying, people? Now, here's what he's saying. He's telling us the difference between the Mosaic covenant versus the Abrahamic covenant. The Mosaic covenant was not confirmed by an oath. There was no oath given to the Mosaic covenant. Why? Because it was going to be revoked. Through what? Through the sacrifice of Jesus! This is good stuff. It'll set you free. Somebody said, well, then how am I to give by faith? How many of you have ever given by faith? Just the fact that you would argue about your giving shows you're not in faith. And guess what? God doesn't want you to give apart from faith, because then it is sin unto you. Are you ready? He says, for if the inheritance be of the law, it is more a promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Why? He didn't give a law to Abraham. He gave a promise to Abraham. What? Sonship. Not only would he become a son, an heir, whosoever should join up with Abraham would also be a son or heirship. That's a promise. Now listen to this. Warfare then serveth the law. That was the Jews' question. It was added. Why? Because of transgressions. This is a very interesting word. This is a Greek word, parabasis. And this is how this word should be used. The reason God had to give the Mosaic covenant, are you ready? Is because humanity didn't know what was wrong in the eyes of God. In other words, he was saying, the reason the law was added by the basis of the way they're walking. By the reason of the way they're walking. I had to give a law of instructions to point out why they were doing what they're doing. Why? Because they were in spiritual death. They knew how to covet. They didn't know how not to covet. They knew how to abuse God. They didn't know how to stay in fellowship with God. You know, you and I, we don't look at little trinkets as a temptation to us nowadays. Our trinkets come a little more elaborate than that. It's whatever care that might come down the path, and you take up it in the place of God. Are you following me? That's your idolatry. But in the Old Testament, they made up little trinkets. That's what they did. They made up trinkets so you could sit and bow down to them. And many of the Jews married Gentile heathens that took them after other gods. See. So we don't have that problem today other than things. Things can take you away from God. I'll tell you, when I backslid my heart, I didn't want to go to a church where the Word of God was being preached. Why? Because I might be held accountable for it. That's where you need to be. Hallelujah. Why? Because that's where your spiritual life comes from. Now notice this. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. He's talking about the Mosaic law. Now, notice what he goes on to say. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given that had given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. Now I'm going to tell you, when the Abrahamic covenant was established, and it's the only covenant that was given without a curse, there was no mediator. It was between Abraham and Christ. There was no mediator. When the Mosaic law was given, Moses was the mediator between God and the people. Right. And the Abrahamic covenant was established without a mediator, saying, when God spoke to Abraham, there was no mediator. He says, I'm going to confirm our oath by the words of my mouth. Yeah. Hello? And we brought out that part of the Abrahamic covenant was the fact of the responsibility of the tithes that belongs to us to deal out to the ministers of God. Are you following me? Because they bring you spiritual food. Yes. Amen. The tithe is specifically for your storehouse. The offering goes beyond the storehouse. It's universal. And what is the tithe and the offering? According to Numbers, it was set up simply for the priests. And the priests were to take a tenth of what they had, and they were to give their tenth to the Aaron, the high priest. Now, we found out in Hebrews chapter 7, it says there very clearly, the Aaronic priesthood is done away with. Why? Because we now give unto Christ personally when we give to priests here. We don't give to the priesthood. You know, I thank God he did it that way. You want to know why? Because not all priests are honest. But I'll tell you what. Believers that give out of their heart into a work. Are you following me? With an honest heart, they're still going to be blessed. Amen. Regardless of the altar that they give it to. Now, if you know that altar is defiled, of course you wouldn't give your money into a defilement. I mean, you'd be crazy. But how do you know whether there's a defilement or not? You know, because sometimes irresponsibility, dirty dealings with money are always under the table and you don't always know it. But you always know your heart. And see, and that's why your return is predicated on the issues of your heart, not on the dollar amount and how it's used. Somebody says, well, you got to give into good ground. Well, then we got to run around labeling our ministry as good ground. Well, I know right now there's a perversion in some of their ministries, and they use the deceitfulness of money to gain leverage out of getting money out of God's people. And they got the signs up, we're good ground. I'll tell you what good ground is. When your heart has a heart for God to serve people in spite of somebody else's stupidity and stewardship, that you're giving into the kingdom of God regardless of them. I've heard so many times, well, Jim and Tammy Fabank, everybody just threw their money on them, and look at all the money that was wasted. Baloney! You just hadn't seen the return on the people's heart that gave to them out of a heart for God. Yes. You don't cut people off when they give out of the issue of their own heart. Why? Because God keeps your will intact. Amen. He don't make you subject to somebody else's perversion. If you believe that, then that's where your faith is going to be. And I guarantee you won't get a return. Why? Because you won't give. That'll be an excuse for you not to do it. Why? Because we got some bad ministers out there. Somebody told me once, just kind of the same thing with John Cook. Somebody sat down and said, I said, well, until John Cook leaves, I'm here. I got thinking, well, what about me?
Well, somebody told me, he says, well, Carol's been with you for years. When she leaves, I know I'll quit giving. What's that all about? That's stupid. You don't give because you see things. You give because you have a heart for it. Period, over and out. Now notice this. Is the law then against the promises of God? Forbid. For if there had been a law given that could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scriptures had concluded all under sin, that the promises by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Isn't that interesting? I read that verse and I went, bong. Shut up from the faith. My gosh, weren't they living in faith in the Old Testament? Yes, a remnant was living according to faith in the Old Testament, but not all in the Old Testament was living according to faith. Why? Because there was a portion that lived by faith in the Old Testament who truly followed the principle of Abraham. But listen, I'm going to tell you, the Abrahamic covenant would not have been established or cut if it wasn't by faith in Abraham's heart to serve what God asked him to do. Well, what does that mean? Well, the reason the law was added is just to let the people know God's against that. Against what? Having more than one wife. Well, I didn't know that. Well, of course you didn't. That's why. Look at Solomon in all his glory, the closest he could come to the wealth of Christ establishing the earth. He had 300 wives and 700 concubines, or vice versa. I'll tell you what, if it wasn't for David, that guy would have been jerked off of his throne. That isn't the righteousness of God working in a man's heart. What in the world's that all about? I sat and watched a program about the Mormons living with three or four wives in one house and giving it all in the honor of Jesus. Thank God I know my Bible. Those people are going to hell because they hang on to that stuff. Why? Because Mormonism is not the new birth. It's not the Spirit of Christ that you and I inherited. When you have received the Spirit of Christ, you know when you're wrong and you know when you're right, or the promise would be of none effect. The trouble is, Christians have an uncanny ability to violate their conscience. And if you keep violating it and violating it, eventually God will back off from you and say, okay, I'm going to leave you alone. Why? Because if you choose to keep going that way, then may the consequences bless you. Somebody says, well, I just don't know why I don't tithe. Because Satan got through the 90% to get to 10 in your thinking. When you preserve the 10%, you'll also see to it that the 90 is watched over and guarded so that the 10 will always be there. Now, the problem is that somebody comes along with this real intelligent statement. Tithing is not taught in New Testament. It didn't have to be. It's well established in the Old. Even before law. Shock. And Jesus never even said that the tithe was ever done away with. Jesus always dealt with the issue of a man's heart when it come to the issue of money. You know, I've lost leadership in my body because they got taken out by a care. Right. Through the deceitfulness of money. And you know what took them out? They're going into business to make more money for the kingdom of God. Where are they today? They're not here. Why? Because the devil knew that all as it would do is to take a word to tell them, you can make money, more money for God, but you'll have to sacrifice your spirituality to it. I'm going to tell you something. When you know whether God's in something or not is the fruit of it. And if it took you out spiritually for the sake of money, God was never in it to begin with to tell you, go make it for the kingdom of God. Why? You're not around anymore. It all comes back to the issues of a heart. Yeah. The issues of a heart. Some people give to God by law. And right here, we're going to read it. Listen. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Why? We're no longer under the works of the law. Listen, if the Spirit of Christ is at work in our heart. You know, a lot of people don't understand. When you feel like you're under law, it's because you're not looking into the perfect law of liberty.
Right.
Somebody said, well, I just feel like I'm always under law when I have to give. Well, then you're not giving by the issue of the heart that you've inherited through resurrection. That's what Easter is all about. You know, we look at Easter and we see the stone rolled away. And we see the physical side of Christ. But people, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus could not have come out of that grave unless he was born again. Because he had to encounter spiritual death for our transgressions. He had none of his own, or he couldn't have come out. But he went there for you and I. Why? Because we were too stupid to know any different, and he had to set down a bunch of rules and regulations for us to follow that he didn't want you to even be under. But he had to tell us something. Now notice this. For you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. What does that mean? Put on Christ. It means that you were born again. Yep. Putting on Christ means the Spirit of Christ has been spermed in your heart.
Right.
I have a problem with the Amplified Bible. Every word for Spirit there, they put holy. And the Amplified does a horrible job in Galatians chapter 3. They got it all on the Holy Spirit. And really, it's referring to the new birth. Why? How do I know that? Because over at the beginning of chapter 3, he comes to the Galatian church, which is mostly made up of Gentile, and he says to the Gentile, who cast a spell over? Did you know that you can have a spell cast over you if you don't know where you live as a believer? Do you know that's a sign of witchcraft operating? Somebody tell me, I just can't wait for the mantle to come upon me for my ministry. Do you know that there is no such thing as a mantle for a believer today to operate under? It's called the mantle of the new birth. He wants you to operate out of the Spirit of Christ that has been put in you. It didn't say you were changed from glory to glory by somebody having a mantle on them. The anointing is on the Word of God today, people. That's where the anointing flows. You want the anointing to increase? Look into the Word of God and look into the Spirit of Christ on the inside of you and develop Him on the inside. You ain't going to need no prophet's mantle to be successful.
Right.
Somebody said, don't you want the mantle that Elijah had? No, thank you. I want the Spirit of Christ alive in me. Why? Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens. I don't have a measure given to me like the Old Testament believed. I have the Spirit of Christ without measure.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm wall to wall, Spirit of Christ, hallelujah.
Amen.
And I'm not wall to wall Christ.
Glory.
I'm wall to wall Jan Butler with the Spirit of Christ, the same light, the same nature, the same character that was in him is in me to accomplish what I need to accomplish. Glory to God. Don't give me some Old Testament prophet. He's living way out of time, date, and style. Doesn't even see the new birth, or he wouldn't be clinging to that junk.
Right.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
Amen.
We're coming to some good times, I tell you. Now notice in chapter 3, he says, having begun in the Spirit, you're now made perfect through the... They got under a spell.
Right.
Somebody's telling me some people left the church because they were under... The pastor was trying to get them under the Mosaic law. That's insanity. That poor brother doesn't have an idea what his redemption's all about. Why would you go back to that which is revoked?
Right.
You can't go back to that which was revoked. Why? God's not in it. And if you're listening by television and you hear this, you take heed to it. We're born again. We're born from above. Hallelujah. I boldly declare that I'm a child of the living God. I have been placed as a son. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I'm not a prophet under the Old Testament.
Yeah.
No, they were just servants. I'm a son. Glory to God, I'm a son. Glory to God, I'm a son. Hallelujah. Because I'm a son, I am a servant. But I didn't start out as a servant. I started out as a son and became a servant. By choice. I chose to. Now, I want you to go to some verses and we're going to shut down. I want you to go back to chapter 2 of Galatians. Verse 17. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. And he's talking about those who are starting to judge others by Judaism. Now follow me. For I through the law am dead, notice this, to the law, that I might live unto God. I hate that poor translation. Here's what it is. Are you ready? That I might live with Christ. Yes. Why? If I'm still under the law, I'm not living with Christ. I got to get out from under law so that I can live with Him. Why? Because the life of Christ on the inside of me will not allow me to live by law. Why? Because Christ doesn't come to you to get you under law. He comes to get you to change your heart. Now watch this. So I am, he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. I'm going to tell you, this is how it is in the Greek. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live with Christ. Verse 20 really starts with, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. This is where it really starts. In other words, he says, I am crucified with Christ. No, in the Greek it says, I live no more. I live no more. I live no more. Well, what do you mean by he doesn't live anymore? If you're dead to the law, you don't live anymore to the law.
Right.
Why? You live to Christ.
Yes.
Oh, glory to God. Now, how can I take my mind to go back under law? It's because I never found out that I've been co-raised with the Lord.
Amen.
Because the word here, now I want you to follow this. Follow me. That I might live unto God. Literally, in the Greek it says, with Christ I have been co-crucified. You know, when you saw The Passion, that play, that movie, did you know that when you saw Jesus take them stripes, when you saw Him take those beatings, when you saw Him nailed to the cross, I got news for you. Jesus did that in your place. But if you want to know how you've been co-crucified with Him, see the Passion and see you on that block where they striped Him. See yourself there. See yourself going to the Appian Way. See yourself being nailed on that cross. Why? Because you're the one that should have been there.
Amen. Right. Yeah.
That's why I wept so bitterly when I saw that movie. Because I saw me taking them stripes. I saw me carrying that cross. I saw me being nailed to it. And I couldn't have done it. Why? Well, I'm spiritually dead, man. I had no life in me to handle that. And Jesus had the first spirit that was given out of the loins of God that you and I have inherited so we can do it.
Right.
I can do it now.
Amen.
Somebody said, how do you know? With what I know? And they're going to show me that movie and say you're going to go through the same thing. Unless you deny Christ, I would go through it. I would have to help, God would have to help me to relieve me of the pain. But I would go through it. Why? I can't deny my Lord no matter what I go through.
Right.
We have so great of a salvation. And we have a problem of giving a tenth to the kingdom of God. You need your heart examined.
Yep.
Did you guys get something here today?
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. How are you going to give today? From the heart. You're going to give from the heart. You might as well say this. I'm going to give from my heart by faith. Some of you, that's literally the truth. Ushers, how come you're not up in front with them buckets? You notice our attendance was down a little bit this morning. You know that's every time change that happens. Oh, well, anyway. Huh? I want communion after we take the offering. Or should we take it before? Let's take it before, because some of us need to get our hearts right with our stinginess towards God. Yeah, let's do that. Go and come and get the elements, then we'll take the offering up. Hallelujah. The body and the blood. She's having a hard time fitting in. Marla, she looked a little discouraged. You ran up there and you went, oh, wrong one. Okay. Praise God. Hallelujah. Best way to do this is when they give you the bread, when they give you the tray, pass it on to the person next to you first, then take the... And I'll tell you what, those of you that are believers here this morning, I'm going to exhort you that the only thing that qualifies you to take communion is a revelation in your heart you're not right with God. And if you don't want to make it right, leave the communion elements alone so it won't be come back on you until you make your mind up to get it right. Of course, I'd never hesitate. I'd do it immediately, just like that. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I've been co-raised. Co-crucified and raised with Christ. Hallelujah. It was Gary Carpenter, I think, set out a cartoon on water baptism. And the priest was going to go ahead and baptize this guy. And he said, I hope we get it right. He said, everything that goes down under belongs to God. And everything that comes up... Oh, yeah. Everything, he says, everything that goes under belongs to God. And showed the next... So it shows him baptizing this guy in water. And the next picture, it shows a guy holding his money up with one hand as he's being baptized. I thought that was pretty funny. Praise God. We've had so many good testimonies of how the Spirit of Christ is working in the hearts of people as they step out in faith and begin to tithe and give. And so you see that. Praise God. Hallelujah.
I just wanted to add a little footnote to what you were saying today. And when you asked if anybody had given out of faith, the Lord reminded me of this. This was years before I came to this church. And I was watching TBN, and they had one of those praise funds going on. And so the Lord says, I want you to call and pledge. I have to tell you the amount. It's four digits, so that's like $1,000.
Uh-huh.
I didn't have that kind of money. I didn't even have that in the bank. I didn't get that kind of money. I didn't make that. And I thought, you might as well have said $1 million because I don't have it. But I said, okay, I did it because I love the Lord and I wanted to be obedient. And he doesn't tell you this, if you know he's talking to you, because he wants to harm you. He tells you this for your good because he wants to bless you.
Yes.
Okay? And so you just give out of your heart, like Pastor said. So I called and I thought, all right, if I get a busy signal, I'm not going to even do this. You know? And I got right through and thought, okay, I'm pledging this $1,000. And so weeks went by, and they did this thing again, and they said, well, if you haven't receive that to repledge. And so I thought, okay, I'll just call back up and repledge it. But before I call, the Lord says, and I want you to double it. And I'm thinking, oh, man, am I listening? Am I hearing this right? So I said, okay. So I called up and I pledged $2,000. I said, where's going to get this? And I said, when I get the money, you'll receive it. And so when all this was going on, I'd forgotten about it. And my dad was real sick. And I didn't know that he had money put away for us kids. And he died. And I got $20,000. And my 10% was that $2,000. Because I didn't know where that
That's
was coming
speaking
from.
By the Spirit.
That was strictly by faith.
Yes. Praise God.
Yes, what the pastor was talking about was what one thing that my wife and I have done. We've always tithed. We started to do some sacrifice giving, basically throwing your seed out. And then planning it, and we just got a new job here. We're wondering how we were going to make it till that first paycheck came, because we were getting rather low. But the Lord had never let us down before, and in prayer He told me, "I never have, so I won't now." And it was coming right down to the wire. My wife and I went to get the mail the other day, and we looked in there, and there was a check in the mail from a totally unexpected source that's going to more than carry us through till that first paycheck comes in.
So praise God. Praise God. Those are good testimonies. Oh, do I need to take it too? I guess I'd better. Praise God. Well, we understand what the bread represents. If you've seen the Passion, you know what it means to have your body all broken up the way that Jesus did. He was broken and divided that we remain intact, that we don't go through what He went through. What a wonderful privilege. And so today, if there's anything in your heart that would divide you from your family, from your church, whatever it is, take the bread in remembrance of Christ and remain undivided. Stay intact in the counsel of the Lord in your heart. Will heal whatever needs healing. Go ahead and take the bread. We also know then in that same night in which He was betrayed, He took the wine. And He said, in remembrance of Me, drink of this cup. Because it symbolizes the cleansing of that which would divide. And so when you drink this wine, it symbolizes the life that was in the blood that was shed for you and I. And that life will not allow us to ever be broken up from each other. So go ahead and drink. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Would you pass your cups to the center aisles and it'll help things go faster? While they're doing that, let's bow our heads and ask the Lord what He'd have us to give this morning to Him. Dear Jesus, we don't want to give out of religious tradition. We know that the tithe is a done thing. But Father, there might be many here that don't have the full tithe. And that's why Jesus, through the apostles, they taught how You multiplied what seed they do have so that they can work their way out of debt into an abundant place where they can give always the tithe and even have an offering. You said You multiply any seed that is sown. And Father, we know it has to be sown by the right heart. And sometimes we feel that our heart is not right, but we know that if we receive the witness of the Word, then that's sufficient enough to be obedient until feelings come. And Father, we bow our heads now and we ask you to tell us what to give this morning. And if it's even above the tithe, we'll be obedient to that. For we love you so much, Lord, and we know that we give for your kingdom. We don't want to be found like the nation of Israel when Haggai the prophet came to him and corrected him, for when his people went to the temple could not give them the full amount that they needed because the people took more care of their own home than the temple of God. So, Father, today, as you speak what you would have us give, we will be obedient to that. For you know what's ahead for every one of us. You know what we can handle. It's not according to what we don't have. It's according to what we do have. We heard the testimony of people that in the natural, it seemed like they didn't have it. But they did have it already intact in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, go ahead and pass buckets if you'd like. An envelope, raise your hands. The ushers will be glad to give you one. We want to encourage you to fill out an envelope, even when you're giving by check, because the IRS requires it. Otherwise, Miss Carol has to make out an envelope for you. And it helps the process for her if you already do that. Praise God. Yes, we've got you on computer too. Hallelujah. But for some reason, the IRS wants a backup. Isn't that crazy? Well, the IRS, they think they're united with God, so...
Wrong God.
Wrong God. Praise the Lord. The less cannot outgive the greater. Where's Donna at? Donna Roberson, where are you at, Donna? Stand up, sweetheart. Praise God. Donna will be ministering Wednesday night for us. Praise God. So you're stuck, Donna. If your ticket was to leave before Wednesday, you're stuck now. Get your son to cover you, you know. Hallelujah. Praise God. Children's program tonight. We'd have had Donna tonight if it wasn't for a children's program. How many of you are going to come out in support of the children even though you don't have children?
Yeah.
I saw a couple of you single. Come out and support our children. They are so cool.